I have one, and I want to assign y'all some homework assignments. You don't have to turn them into me, but you can share them if you want to. Where on earth did they come up with the idea of a wise owl? Did they interview an owl? I mean, where did that phrase ever get started? So if you all want to check that out. But I'll tell you something else I've always questioned. What about a wisdom tooth? Now, I'm going to be honest, when I cut my wisdom tooth, that was in high school. The last one was in college, freshman year. It was this upper left wisdom tooth. I had vertigo from it, and I was staggering around. I go down a hallway, and it was like the floor flipped me up in the face. I mean, it was awful. Well, after it got cut and went through, I was fine for years until about 14 years ago. I was eating spaghetti, of all things, and there was a filling came out. Now, I've never heard of spaghetti causing fillings to get dislodged. That filling must have been ready to fall out. Well, I didn't realize that some dentist in the past had filled a cavity in that wisdom tooth. And, I was just drinking Ambisol by the gallons. I mean, trying to numb that. And so I went to a dentist, and he says, "Now, Anthony, we can save that tooth if you want to." I said, "Yank it out." And he shot it full of whatever, Novocaine or whatever, and pulled it out. Didn't take more than 20 seconds to do it. And I said, "This tooth has been a pain to me most of my life, and I'm finally rid of it." And I still rejoice on that space in the back of my mouth. It's no longer present. But, you know, it is amazing how sometimes things like wisdom teeth and an old wise owl, a lot of other phrases that goes along with that, get started. You know, recently a group of children, this has been a couple of years ago, and you may have read it on Facebook, and I did not get this from Facebook, by the way. But there was a survey done among a group of children wanting to know their responses and definition to wisdom. A young boy, age 8, named Sterling, said wisdom is wearing a hat while feeding seagulls. Max, age 10, said don't ever be too full for dessert. Now, I like that one, don't you? And Anthony Gilbert, a teenager, said, "When your dad is mad and says to you, do I look stupid? Well, don't answer him." I only did that once in my life, but I can still see that. "Do I look stupid to you?" And I said, "Yes." And we won't even go to what happened afterwards. But anyway, it's been said that if advice giving worked, there wouldn't need to be therapists or marriage counselors. Pastoral advice for ministers would be considered irrelevant too. Just think of the great insights or counsel we've given to our family or friends when they've gotten into a jam, been misunderstood, or just messed up in life. They seem appreciative, and then they say something to the extent that, "Oh, you just don't understand." Or, "Of course, that would never work for me." Don't you just love those deflating remarks, those balloon poppers when they say that to you? Perhaps it sounds as if they really grasp it, but then you turn and do the opposite anyway. Wisdom guides how people live. However, wisdom doesn't guarantee that they won't make mistakes or become perfect. The story of King Solomon, who sought wisdom over material wealth, is 3,000 years old. And you believe that. But what does this have to do with us as churchgoers in 2024? Well, wisdom helps bring us closer to God. Solomon was inspired by this revelation from God. And in fact, there's a section in the Bible in the Old Testament called the Wisdom Literature. And Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, a lot of sections of that area. Proverbs probably would be considered in the Wisdom Literature too, along with the Psalms. So you have a variety of that. If you ever want to be inspired, read some of that. But wisdom does help bring us closer to God. You know, Solomon could have just sat back and enjoyed the benefits of it, but no, he continued to worship God. Make a long story short, you know what actually made the people of Israel believe that he was a very wise king was, you remember the story of the two women who had the babies and one of them died and the woman had the dead baby, switched babies. And Solomon, they came before him, and the woman with the dead baby was very adamant that was hers, that was that she'd switched with. And Solomon said, "Well, give me a sword, and we'll just divide it in two." You remember that story in the Old Testament, and the woman with that. It was actually her baby, biological baby. She said, "Oh, let her have it, Your Majesty. Let her have him and everything." And the woman that was not the biological one said, "Well, go ahead and divide." And King Solomon said to the first one, "You may have your baby back." That was a convincing proof that Solomon had wisdom from God. And you know, a lot of times we talk to people and see them and we wonder, are they really practical or pragmatic, you know? And sometimes they are just, they don't have any sort of wisdom whatsoever. I get tickled about a story, and it actually happened too. There's a woman named Eleanor, not Roosevelt, but Eleanor, she was known as Sissy Patterson. Sissy Patterson was her name. She died in 1948, but was owner and publisher of the Washington Times newspaper. It's no longer in existence, but she was on. In fact, the first job that Bouvier Kennedy had was as a reporter for the Washington Times Herald before she married JFK. But at Sissy's death, she was worth, get this, $200 million, 1948 value. She was loaded. She was a filthy rich. It was unbelievable. She owned a big home on DuPont Circle in D.C. It's now a home of diplomats. I don't remember which embassy it is, but that home was very, very pristine. Wealth, however, never mesmerized her. Her parents gave her a lot of wisdom and instruction in that. Her brother was also publisher of the New York Daily News. They called him Captain Joe Patterson. And her first cousin was Colonel Robert McCormick, who owned the Chicago Tribune. And before World War II started, these three were known as the three winds of isolationism in the United States. They didn't want us to get involved in World War II. But Sissy was very close to the Roosevelts and everything, but they just opposed the United States entering the war. They apologized when the war started over that. But Sissy had an immense, valuable jewelry collection. And it was unbelievable how much it was estimated worth. But at bedtime, guess what Sissy would do? She would remove all her jewelry she'd worn that day, her rings, bracelets, necklaces, brooches, whatever. And you know what she did? Sissy always placed them atop her dresser, nightstand, or chest of drawers, never in a safe. Her friend who owned the famous Hope Diamond, you know, the Hope Diamond is supposed to have a curse on it, told Sissy one day, she said, "You should take better care of your collection of jewelry because of thieves." Well, Sissy would laugh it off and in a casual manner and remark that burglars would assume those items strewn around her bedroom had been purchased in a dime store, or what we would say Dollar Tree today, and said never would guess those jewels would be worth millions of dollars. And she just casually put them around like that. And she'd go to bed with a smile on her face. And I'm sure she had that jewelry insured. But Sissy kept her priorities straight. She lived by her wisdom that was taught from childhood. And Sissy never had any incidents of problems with thieves or whatever. She figured, hey, God was going to watch out for her, and God did. But, and by the way, Sissy and all her family were Presbyterians too, so they were good people anyway. But we think of people like that, and we think sometimes they're not very smart, but Sissy was. King Solomon stood before the Ark of the Covenant, you know, where the Ten Commandments that Moses had gotten received from God. He stood before the Ark of the Covenant and had burnt offerings. It said, you know, thousands of burnt offerings to the Lord expressed the complete dedication of himself to God. Those fellowship offerings symbolize the closeness that can be enjoyed with God and others through his grace. Solomon received blessings beyond his wildest imagination because he hadn't asked for material wealth or a long life, or it says here, to defeat his enemies. It's well documented that King Solomon was so prosperous that when the Queen of Sheba, upon her visit to Jerusalem, was so overwhelmed at his affluency that she just couldn't believe it. When she left Jerusalem, she was still numb from the shock that she had received. In fact, in Solomon's day, silver was of no value. It was just considered, it would be like aluminum or steel or something. It was gold. Gold was so plentiful in Jerusalem, it was just like pennies from heaven. And so the wealth that King Solomon had has never been repeated again. And his wealth would have made the British royals today look as if they were on welfare, if you can imagine that. Wisdom helped King Solomon realize that when he worshiped God, God received the glory. But Solomon was also encouraged in his faith, as were others around him. You know, the same thing applies for us today. You know, there's a little text in the book of Hebrews which sort of gives a little inkling of how perhaps we can gain more wisdom. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but encouraging one another. Why? Because when we neglect worship, the verse tells us we cannot encourage one another properly. When people gather together, that's what they are to do. It is through hymns and prayers and the word of God and worship. And all that comes together, and wisdom is at the heart of it all. You just think about the wisdom that can be gained by coming to church on Sundays and mixing and mingling with people who love the Lord, as you hopefully do. Knowing that formula should bring us to church more often. Now, I realize some people say they can worship God on the lake or at the golf course. I mean, you can. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God is limited to four walls. But you're not usually with other people who are focusing upon God. You're used to hitting that golf ball out there. And I love a golf game better than anybody, but I know I'm not going to be completely looking at that golf ball and say, oh God, I'm worshiping it. No, we don't do that. But it's interesting how that coming to church will help us in that regard. And it's not, we're not just here to warm a pew, but it's to bring us closer to God. Spirituality is not an abstract thing. It's not complicated. We make it that way. By believing God and striving to do His will is not about feeling guilty or embracing something vague. It's about living. And wisdom invites us to that place where we can live abundantly. It is the essence of being God's creation in the world we live. The question is, how is it done? Well, being wise is a great and even profound idea. But wisdom isn't listed on any school curriculum or taught in the classroom. I know there's teachers here right now, and I guarantee you there's no class called Wisdom 101 taught in any school in the United States, well, elementary or middle school or high school. But it's the well-meaning advice that is heard and given. is what counts. Truly, we all know how difficult it is to do something just because we think or know we should. Always being ready to learn by knowing indeed that a word to the wise is sufficient, which really paraphrases Proverbs 9, verses 9 through 10. You know this verse. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So not only are we living with wisdom, but also thriving as an integral part of the body of Christ. We in Christ and Christ in us. It is through claiming that intimacy that we are not only assured of eternal life, but that life that we live now may truly be filled with wisdom and godly guidance. Let us pray. O God and Heavenly Father, we seek wisdom more and more. In our lives, sometimes we get influenced by other things, and we know that they're usually not good for us. So help us keep focused on you and the way that you would want us to live in our thoughts. Thank you, God, for wisdom, and help us out. We ask this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.